This is the place where the wheat is separated from the chaff. And now, we begin to gather the Lord's harvest here at the threshing floor.
Hello, and welcome to the threshing floor. My name is Sue Patterson, and I will be with you for the next hour. And I am coming to you from Cascade, Idaho, through a phone patch into the Christian Media Network. Today is November 28th, and more importantly on the Lord's calendar, it is the 26th day of the ninth month. And let me go ahead and go over some frequencies with you where we can be heard. We can be heard on 7.415 WBCQ from 7 to 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, and these are all Pacific times that I'm giving you. And we can also be heard on that same frequency, 7.415, from 5 to 8 p.m. Tuesday through Friday. We can be heard on WRMI, 7.385, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday, and on 9.330 WBCQ from 5 to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. We can also be heard on the satellite, on the C-band, at G11, Transponder 14, audio 7.71. And you can also catch us on the internet, ChristianMediaNetwork.com and ChristianMediaDaily.com, and also on ChristianMediaResearch.com. There's numerous articles there that you can look into that will kind of catch you up to speed of what this ministry is all about. I'd also like to mention another website which has all the Threshing Floor archives and also written prophecy material. And that website address is onevoicemm.net. And that is hosted by Randy Moggins, another host on the Threshing Floor. And he keeps that archive up to date. Any of the shows that you hear here can be, you can go to that website, onevoicemm.net, and you can listen to any of these shows that have ever been on the Threshing Floor. He's still rearranging the site, so be patient with that. Also on that site, you can get a hold of prophecy materials, written materials that we do on these shows. For example, I'll be sending this to him tonight, and you should be able to access it within a couple days, the study notes for each one of these shows that I've been doing. And also, Randy's been doing it, and Bob has been doing it, too. And this will help you as a guide to go when you go through and you listen to the show to show you the verses and everything. And a lot of times it helps to have written material in front of you. So you can get those on that website. Now I'm going to be continuing with the plumb line study. I've been in this study now. This is actually the fourth show. And I'm subtitling this Abiding in Christ. And we've been talking about the plumb line now for the previous three shows and what the plumb line is about. And in Amos 7, 7, and 8, let me go ahead and read those verses. I start every show off with this concerning the plumb line. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. And then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not again pass by them any more. Well, this plumb line, we've determined, is Jesus Christ. And the plumb line, it has judgment laid to the line and righteousness to the plumb line. And Jesus Christ is given the authority for judgment and righteousness. And we've gone through several verses of that on the previous shows. And this, all this has to do with is the plumb line basically determines on which side of the plumb line are you on. If you're on the right side of the plumb line, and we put that on the right side, for example, Jesus Christ is set at the right hand of God. And the sheep is spoken about in the parable. They're on the right hand of God. And so in the truth and the grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's all on the right-hand side of God. On the left-hand side is the other side. And what we've been going through here is the thesis and antithesis. The thesis being the truth, and the antithesis being the lies. and everything that falls under each one of those categories. And so we're going to be going through some of that here. And I ended up finding a verse. We've been discussing that, for example, that Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone and the apostles being the foundation. You know, you go into Revelation chapter 21, it talks about the temple and the wall that is built upon that foundation. The wall is 144 cubits. You know, there are all these gates. There are 12 gates representing the 12 tribes. And so this whole temple of God has something to do with this plumb line, because if you're on the left side of the plumb line, you don't have anything to do with the temple of God. You're not in there. And we're going to go over some verses that specifically show that. Now, this right here in Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, it puts us all right here in just a few verses. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Well, how can you be a fellow citizen with the saints in the household of God? You have to be in the truth. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now, James has talked numerous times about, you know, we are the temple of God. In fact, on his show earlier this morning, he was talking about the tabernacle. You know, that we are the tabernacle, the house of God, the church of God, the true church of God that's in the truth, that's on the right side of this plumb line, is the habitation of God. This is where God dwells. It says if we dwell in God, God dwells in us. And so these verses right here, it shows a complete picture right there of the holy temple and the city that's a bride adorned as for a bride for her husband. And that's in Revelation 21. So these things fit hand in hand. Now, I'm going to go ahead and finish up a few things here. We were talking about truth lies last time, about the people that are in the lies and in the unrighteousness. And there's a few more verses here. And you're probably going to hear verses that I've repeated in some of the other previous shows, and you're going to be hearing more of them. But what is the Bible? The Bible is repetition. It's repeating the same thing, but sometimes in a different way, sometimes in a different context. And so in Isaiah 28:15, we'll start. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. So these people right here, they're saying that you know, the overflowing scourge, we've discussed that, that's the tribulation, shall pass through. It won't come to us, for we've made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hid ourselves. So these people that are in the lies and in the falsehoods, they don't think anything bad's coming. You know, they're waiting for the rapture bus. Or they think it's already passed, that the tribulation has already happened back in 70 A.D. And so this right here is telling them that they feel comfortable in their place. They're comfortable in the, for example, there's several verses in Isaiah and also in Ezekiel and I believe in Jeremiah, where it says, for when they shall say peace and safety, and then cometh sudden destruction. And there is other, when they say that there is peace and there is no peace, you know, it's lies. They're in lies. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Okay, the wrath of God. Well, that seems to be speaking about the tribulation, isn't it? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Well, right here, we have these people right here. They're holding the truth in unrighteousness. And the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against them. Why is this? How can somebody hold the truth in unrighteousness? And I'll give you an example. I was flipping the channels the other night, and there wasn't really anything on, and I decided to stop at one of the ministry channels just to see what they were saying. And there was this woman preacher up there. I believe it was Kenneth Copeland's wife. She was up there and she was preaching. She was preaching about faith and talking about the Old Testament Exodus, you know, when they were out in the wilderness, and stating that they were murmuring in their tents, and how God heard them, that they were murmuring in this. I mean, he had just brought them through the Red Sea. You know, he had just shown them all these miracles, and then they're murmuring in their tents and basically complaining. Okay, she was right on there until she got to this part. And she says, and I know there's a lot of pastors and preachers out there that at night you're lying in bed with your wife, and you're telling your wife that, boy, I just don't know if I can keep going on like this, because, you know, the people of the church are not doing what they're supposed to do. You know, we got to build this building. We got to put in a foundation and build this building. We don't have the money. And the people that are going to our church aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Well, what are they doing? They're holding truth and unrighteousness. It talks in the Bible all over the place about faith, having faith. And these people are turning around and they're saying that having faith has to do with building your church and getting money in. Well, that right there, that is holding truth and unrighteousness. Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Well, what's this talking about? They're changing the truth of God into a lie, and they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. Well, the creature, we did this on a previous show, the creature is basically what you're looking at is the church. They're holding the church as an idol. They're worshiping the creature. They're worshiping the church more than God, the Creator. Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Well, right here we have, where it says whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto unright or obedience unto righteousness, we have the plumb line right here. So when you're yielding yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, we have two things. We have whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. It's one or the other. You either have obedience unto righteousness, and that is on the right side of the plumb line, or you have sin unto death. That's on the left-hand side of the plumb line. Romans 2:8 and 9. But unto them that are contentious, and this word contentious means argumentative, quarrelsome, disputing, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. So here we have, these are, but unto them that are argumentative, that are quarrelsome, disputing, and do not obey the truth. What are they to obey? They obey lies. That obey unrighteousness. So they're on this other side. Well, if we go back to that previous verse where it says, or of obedience unto righteousness, whether of sin unto death, well, if they're unrighteous, then they're sin unto death. They're going to die. They're going to die in their sin. And what comes down upon them? Indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. And we're going to be looking at this word evil here in just a moment. And it's pretty interesting where it actually goes into the fruit. Revelation 21:27. Now this is talking about the temple of God. This is talking about the 12 foundations of the apostles, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, the wall of 144 cubits, the 12 gates representing the 12 tribes. And it says right here, in Jesus Christ, the Lamb is in the middle of it, and there's no light that's needed. You know, read Revelation chapter 21. It speaks all about this right here. But what I wanted to bring out here in this verse, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Now remember, the 144,000, we have that verse. that states these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. And that's speaking about being, you know, they weren't in the harlot church system. Okay, so it, coming into this temple, says in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. So lies cannot enter into the temple, period. If there's any lie in it, it doesn't enter in. Only the truth can enter it. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Who's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? The ones that are saved, the ones that are in the truth, the ones that are abiding in Jesus Christ. And we're going to go ahead and take a look here at some verses. This is actually a small section here, what I've titled Thesis and Antithesis. And these verses actually show the difference. This shows that it puts the plumb line right down here, right down the middle of these verses here. And it's a very good picture. And we're going to go ahead and add on to the list that we've been making. And you can get a copy of that list on onevoicemm.net. And we're going to go ahead and continue this list right here. And now we're going to start seeing a picture of how all this stuff works. 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? In other words, what does righteousness have to do with unrighteousness? They're two opposites. One is the thesis, one is the antithesis. So in the thesis column, on the right-hand side, we're going to put righteousness. In the antithesis column, we're going to put unrighteousness. Now let's continue. And what communion hath light with darkness? See, he's showing you right here. You know, what does it have to do one with the other? That's, it says not to have fellowship. There's no fellowship between, there shouldn't be fellowship between righteous and unrighteous. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And then he gives you this following list. And what communion hath light with darkness? Now, we're not going to add this to the list because we've already got that up towards the top of the list there. We've got light in the right-hand side and darkness in the left-hand side. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Well, Belial is just an epithet for Satan. So what does Christ have to do with Satan? He doesn't have anything to do with him. They're two opposites. So on the right-hand side, we're going to put Christ. On the left-hand side, we're going to put Belial. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Well, this is interesting here because, you know, what exactly is an infidel? An infidel is Strong's number 571. It means disbelieving, for example, without Christian faith, specifically a heathen, passively untrustworthy person or incredible thing that believeth not, faithless. Well, if we look back up here, up on our list, we find where we have faith and faithless. Well, faithless is on the antithesis side. So, and then we also have believer and unbeliever. Unbeliever being on the antithesis side. So we're just going to go ahead and put a slash after unbeliever and put infidel in there. Now, isn't that interesting? Because an unbeliever is an infidel. And it says right here, what part hath he that believeth? In other words, if you're following Jesus Christ with an unbeliever. And it says to be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So he's given us the picture right here. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And so we have the temple of God, and then we have idols. Well, what are idols? Churches, Christmas trees, statues of Mary, jobs, cars, family, wives, husbands. These can be all idols in our lives. What does the temple of God have to do with idols? They're two opposites of each other. So the temple of God is going to go in the thesis column, and idols is going to go in the antithesis column. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Now, that word unclean means an impure. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So it's telling us right here, he's giving us the exact example of the opposites of each other. And then he says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And just prior to that, it was saying, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. So he's telling us right there, we're not supposed to have association with them. We're not supposed to, you know, be doing the things that we're doing with them. You know, if any of you are in a church right now, and you are unequally yoked with unbelievers. And what does that make you? That makes you an unbeliever too, because right here, it tells you to come out from among them. If you stay where you're at, and you don't come out, you've got some trouble ahead. Because the Lord is telling you right here, right now, as you listen to this, you need to come out from among them. And if you don't, then you will be counted with them. And so this is a very stern warning. As James says, this is your spiritual Miranda warning. And so, you know, these things, we have to look at these things, because these things are very serious. You know, the time is growing short, and we don't have much time left here. It's no time for playing games. It's time for getting serious. Now, Isaiah 28:15, and I just read this verse, but I want to read it in a different context now. It says, because ye have said, we have made covenant with death, and with how are we at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Well, that word refuge in Strong's is 4268, and it comes from 2620, and it means a shelter, literally or figuratively. Hope, place of hope, refuge, shelter, trust. Okay, so this is a safe place. So these people have made lies their refuge. Now, if we go to Psalm 91:1-2, and this is where I want to show you the opposite of this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Okay, so in this previous verse here in Isaiah 28:15, lies are their refuge. And in Psalm 91:2, it says, he is my refuge. Well, who is he? Is God. So God is my refuge. So let's go ahead and put that down on the thesis and antithesis list. On the thesis side, put God is my refuge. And on the antithesis side, put lies are my refuge. Ephesians 5:8-9. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Who are the children of the light? The ones that have the truth. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Okay, so here we have the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth. It says, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. It says it right there. You got lies? You're not there. You're not in the light of the Lord. You're walking in darkness. John 8:31-32. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word. Now the word continue, if you look it up, it's the word abide. Number 3306 in the Strong's, and we're going to be going over that in just a moment after the break. Then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But it says, there's an if here. It says, if ye continue in my word, if ye abide in my word. Well, what's the word? The word is the truth. You know, this whole thing, it's the foundation, it's the basis of it, is the truth. Everything revolves around the truth here. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and, okay, so this is a conjunction here, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But you can only be free if you know the truth. You can only know the truth if you continue in his word. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Boy, we know some of them, don't we? Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? And we're going to pick this up right after the break. We'll be back in just a moment.
We'll continue shortly.
Let me go ahead and continue here in verse 16. It says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Okay, so this is telling you right here, by whatever fruits they have, you're going to know whose they are, if they're abiding in Christ or if they're abiding in the synagogue of Satan. It says, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Well, you can't gather grapes from a thorn bush, from a rose bush. You can't gather figs out of thistles. Thistles are no good for nothing. They just stick you and prick you. It says here in verse 17, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now let's stop right there. It says here that a good tree brings forth good fruit and a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. So let's put that in our thesis and antithesis. On the thesis side, we're going to put good tree and then right below it, good fruit. On the antithesis side, we're going to put corrupt tree and evil fruit. Okay, let's continue here. In verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Well, gee, that kind of reminds you of Romans chapter 11, where it says, if thou shalt continue in his goodness, he shall not cut thee off. If you're not bearing good fruit, he cuts you off and you get burned. You get burned in the fire. Verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Now let's take a look at these words here. Where it says a corrupt tree, the word corrupt is number 4550 in the Strong's. And I would highly suggest, if you don't have a Strong's concordance and you want to do some study in the Bible, you need to get that Strong's, because it just opens up a whole plethora of words and definitions, and it really brings things into focus. Okay, corrupt is number 4550, and it's from 4595, and it means rotten. For example, worthless, literally or morally, bad or corrupt. And the comparable is 4190. Now, 4190 is the same word that's used for evil, where it says, bringeth forth evil fruit. It's the same word. It's corrupt. A corrupt tree brings forth corrupt fruit or evil fruit. 4190 is from a derivative of 4192, and it means hurtful. For example, evil. Properly in effect or influence, and thus differing from 2556, which refers rather to essential character. So basically 2556 is going to be referring to basically the character of a person when you're talking about somebody being evil, as well as from 4550, which indicates degeneracy from an original virtue. So basically the 4190, it means to be hurtful or evil in effect or influence. Okay, now the number 2556, where it says that's referring to essential character, it says apparently it's a primitive word, worthless, means worthless, intrinsically such, whereas 4190 properly refers to effects. For example, subjectively depraved or objectively injurious, bad, evil, harm, ill, noisome, wicked. Now let's go back to this verse here, where in Romans 2:8-9, which we read just a few minutes ago. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and of the Gentile. Well, this Jew first, where it talks here about doeth evil, that word evil is number 2556. It means worthless. So it's every soul of man that does worthless. Well, what that's talking about is a corrupt tree. Whenever there's a corrupt tree, it's taken down, it's destroyed, it's hewn down, cut down, and burned. Well, it's any tree that is not a good tree. Well, how are you a good tree? When you're abiding in Jesus Christ, when you're in Jesus Christ, when you're in the truth. If you're not in the truth, you are a corrupt tree, and you are producing evil fruit, and you will be cut down. That's what it says in here. Matthew 25:1. Now let's take a look at these 10 virgins. Now there's some things that we want to go ahead and take a look at a little bit closely here. We went over a little bit of this last week where, the 10 virgins, they were all asleep. All of them were asleep. Basically, they were all not in the truth. And then they woke up. Well, if you think about it, it says that the 5 wise virgins, they trimmed their lamps. Well, what do you do when you trim a lamp? You turn it and you adjust it till it's got the brightest flame to where it's not putting out any smoke, but it's got very, very bright flame. In other words, they're adjusting it. They adjust it to burn the brightest. Well, what is it talking about? Walking in the light of the Lord, that Jesus Christ is the light, and then when you come to the light, when you come to the truth, you're not in darkness anymore. So they adjust their lamps to the brightness so that they're just shining really bright, and they're not in darkness. They're in light. Well, the 5 unwise virgins, they go to trim their lamps, and their lamps are gone out. There's nothing there. So what does that mean? That means that they are in darkness. They are not in light. And when they're in darkness, they don't have the truth. And so what did they do? They went and asked the 5 wise virgins, well, give us some of your oil. Well, if you look at this, on one layer, yes, this is going to be preparation. I definitely believe that where it talks about the oil, the 5 wise virgins bringing the vessel with the oil in it, and they had enough oil for their lamps. Well, that's preparation. And on one layer. On another layer, this can actually be the Holy Ghost. And it's kind of funny because if you think about it, the rapture cult, they state that this is the Holy Ghost. But they have a total different context of this whole thing. See, if this is the Holy Ghost, if you look at the 5 wise and the 5 foolish, they all have their lamps when they went into this room where they end up falling asleep until the call of the bridegroom came out. So they all have their lamps, and their lamps were all lit. Because remember, they fell asleep, and when they woke up, the 5 wise ones trimmed their lamps, but the 5 unwise ones, their lamps had gone out. So that means that their lamps were lit when they went to sleep. And this is what we were talking in a few shows ago, that when you have a true repentance experience, when you come to the Lord, you are in the truth at that point in time. And then the decision that you make, whether you're going to stay in the truth or you're going to go into lies, which all of these virgins went into lies, the 5 foolish ones and the 5 wise ones, they all went, both sides went into lies because they both went to sleep. And when you're asleep, you're not in the truth. But then when they woke up, the 5 wise ones were in the truth. They woke up to the truth and they trimmed their lamp, they adjusted, they fine-tuned it. And the 5 unwise ones were in total darkness. Now, what happened then? Then the foolish ones said to the wise ones, well, give us some of your oil. And the wise ones said, not so, lest we not have enough for ourselves. So if you look at that being the Holy Ghost, you look at that being the truth, because the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. The 5 unwise ones, the 5 foolish ones, are asking the wise ones, well, give us some of your Holy Ghost. You know, give us some of your truth. And they say, no, we're not going to do that. Go to them that sell and buy for yourselves. There's an interesting verse in Proverbs 23:23, and it says, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth? Well, yeah, if you look up that word buy, it means to procure. It means to get the truth and to hold on to it. Don't get rid of it. You hang on to that. And so these five wise virgins tell the five foolish ones, no, go to them that sell and buy for yourself. Well, who are them that sell? Well, they probably went back to their other churches, to the church that they were going to buy some truth. But they don't have any truth to sell because they're in lies. And when they're in lies, they don't have any truth because the two do not mix, as we've gone over in you know, several of these shows. And so when they went out to buy some oil, they obviously didn't come back with their lamps lit, because remember when they knocked on the door, when the five unwise ones went to buy some, and then the bridegroom came, and they went into the chambers to be married. Well, what ended up happening is the five foolish ones ended up coming knocking on the door. Remember, they knew the Lord, so they said, "Lord, Lord, open to us." They were calling him Lord, and he says, "I don't know you." Well, when he said that, "I don't know you," if they had gotten the truth and their lamps were lit, would he have opened the door? It seems like he would have, because they would have had the truth. But they still didn't have the truth at that time, because he didn't know them, because they weren't in the truth. And this whole thing goes back to the transition that we've spoken about before. At the time of the sealing of the 144,000, the door is shut. Well, there's a chance for the multitude to come back in, but there's a lot that they're going to have to go through to get there. At the time of the sealing, when the 144,000 are sealed, there is not another one out there that has the truth, other than maybe the few that are in Sardis. Those are the only ones that's kind of a mystery group in there. But there's nobody else out there because the door is shut. Everybody else is in lies. And the Lord does wake them up. You know, does wake up the multitude. But it's after a lot of tribulation and anguish that they have to go through. So this is an interesting analogy here when you actually start taking apart about the ten virgins and looking at, you know, them having their lamps trimmed and having the truth and it burning brightly. And so all of this has to do with abiding in Christ, abiding in the truth, abiding in the doctrine. So let's go ahead and start talking about this abiding in Christ. What exactly does that mean? Let's go to John 15, 1 through 7. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." Now this is Jesus Christ talking here. So he says that he's the true vine, and his Father, my Father, is the husbandman. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." Well, that's exactly what we just read in that previous verse. "And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." So every branch that is in Jesus Christ that bears fruit, he purges it. And Randy had gone over this a couple weeks ago, and basically what he's doing is he's pruning it. And ouch, yeah, that hurts. It hurts when he prunes it and he purges it. But why does he do it? He does it so it can produce more fruit and good fruit. Because if you don't produce good fruit, you're producing evil fruit. And it says here, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." So you can't produce anything on your own. You have to be in Jesus Christ to produce anything. And then in verse 5 it says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." So this whole thing right here, you know, it gives you a very, very good picture that you have to be abiding in Jesus Christ, because if you're not abiding in him, then you're cast into the fire. And you don't want to go there. Now, if you think about the parable of the talents, okay, where it was talking about producing fruit and everything. Remember the parables, the ten talents, the 5 talents, the 1 talent? And the 10 and the 5, you know, they made 10 more, and the other one made 5 more. And the one that had 1, he digged in the earth and put it in the earth. Well, it didn't produce anything, did it? It's because he wasn't in the truth. He was afraid of God. And we're to fear God, but it's a righteous fear, you know, because he's Lord of all. I mean, he created you and me, you know, we're just basically little ants to him, but he loves us. And we are the sons of God. He's made us his sons. But the fear that this guy had was not a godly fear. This was a worldly fear. And so he digged in the earth. He put his talent in there. It didn't produce anything. What happens to him? He gets cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so, and why? Because he didn't produce any fruit. Because when you're abiding in Christ, you produce fruit and your fruit is good. Now, the word abideth is number 3306, and it means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. To abide, continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain. It means to stay in a certain place. And remember that verse we were just reading, if ye shall continue in my word? But you have to be abiding. And that word continued, if ye shall continue in my word, if ye shall abide in my word, that's to stay in his word, stay in the truth, and to keep following the truth. 2 John 1:9-11, whosoever transgresseth, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, what is the doctrine of Christ? Well, it's truth, it's righteousness. Start looking at the list on the right-hand side, the thesis list. Is that, you know, it's the narrow way, it's truth, it's life, it's free. You know, you're free when you're in Christ. You receive grace, you're in the light. You're a spiritual Jew, you're circumcised in the heart. You have fruit, you have salvation. You're following the Spirit of truth, therefore you are in the Spirit of truth. You're walking after the Spirit, you're children of the light, children of the day. This is what it talks about, abiding in Christ. When you start going down this list and you start looking at everything, it's like, wow, yeah, you can start seeing everything. Now you can start going through the verses in the Bible that are talking about these things, that mention these words, and that's all on the right side of the plumb line. Now let me continue here. And whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Well, isn't that interesting here? It says here, if you're abiding in the doctrine of Christ, you have both the Father and the Son. And whoever is not abiding in the doctrine of Christ is a transgressor. Well, let's go ahead and put that down on our list here. On the right-hand side, the thesis side, put abiding in Christ. And on the antithesis side, we have the transgressor. Now, what's a transgressor? It's number 3845 from 3844 in the base of 939 means to go contrary to, for example, violate a command by transgress or transgression. So it means to go contrary to the doctrine of Christ. And remember, we've read verses that if anybody go contrary to the doctrine, you know, don't have anything to do with them. And it's telling us this right here. Whoever transgresses and abides not or goes contrary to the doctrine of Christ, it says not even to receive him into your house. And it says neither bid him Godspeed, for if you bid him Godspeed, you are a partaker of his evil deeds. You know, there's a fine line here. You know, we're starting to see a very definite line drawn in the sand. You know, and be not unequally yoked to unbelievers. You know, we're supposed to draw a line. We're supposed to come out from that. To not have the association. I mean, you know, there are certain ones of us that are in business. We have to We have to live in this world. There are certain people you come in contact with. Well, that's a little bit different than palling around with somebody that you know is not in the truth. When you're, you know, when you're going along with them, you're not breaking that bond. You're not coming out from them. When you're going to a church that is teaching lies, there it is right there. You know, this is plain scripture that's telling you to get out of there or you're going to get burned. 1 John 2:24-29. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Okay, here's another if, you know. If then, if that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. What's that you heard from the beginning? The truth. If it will remain in you, then ye shall continue. And that word continue, again, I actually didn't look that one up, but I would probably say that that would say, be abide. It would be the same context there. Ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Well, who is that seduces? They're the ones that are trying to lure you away from the truth, to suck you into their lies, into their falsehoods. Come on over here. It's a lot more comfortable. Well, you don't have to go through all those trials and stuff. God is good. You know, I actually saw a commercial on that one show, How to Become a Millionaire for God. You know, oh, the blasphemy out there. Oh, anyhow. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Well, what's it talking about here? It's talking about it, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. It's the Spirit of truth. And he shall teach you all things. Remember, the Comforter is supposed to teach you. He will lead you into all truth, and is truth and is no lie. Let me continue here, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Okay? So right here, it's telling us, if we're abiding in him, when he shall appear, when does he appear? The second coming. We may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We're not going to hang our heads. We're going to be saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. We want to see you. We want to be with you. 1 John 3:24, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And that's going to be the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. 1 John 2:3-6. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Let me read that again. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Well, this word ought right here is number 3784. And when you think of the word ought, it means like, oh, okay, kind of, should, you know, this is what you should do. That's not what this word means. It means it's probably from the base of 3786, and it says through the idea of accruing to owe pecuniarily, that's basically owing somebody money, figuratively to be under obligation, ought, must, should. Okay, that doesn't leave a whole lot of room for, maybe we won't walk this way. No, it says that you should walk this way. This is how you're supposed to walk. If you're abiding in him, you are supposed to walk as he walked. And this whole thing about the commandments and all that, I will be doing a show up here coming up here shortly, having to do with the law and grace and putting all of this in perspective to the plumb line. It's very, very interesting because it gives us a better perspective and a better understanding of who's under law and who's under grace and where that line is. And I'll be doing that in the next show or two. 1 John 3:6-11. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Well, it states here, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. We're going to be covering more of that in the law and the grace issue. But when you're in Jesus Christ, you are covered under his grace, but you have to be in the truth. These people that throw around, oh, I'm covered under grace, brother or sister, you know, that's a bunch of hogwash there, because those people are in the lies. It's those of us that are in the truth, that are walking in the light of the Lord. You don't sin. You actually don't sin when you are abiding in him in truth, because you are keeping his commandments and you are doing the best that you can. We have our flesh. You know, we're always fighting. We're always warring against the flesh. But when you're walking in the Spirit, you're not walking in the flesh. And when you're walking in the Spirit, you're walking in Christ. You're abiding in Christ. You're abiding in the doctrine. You're in the light. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ right there. And we're going to be covering more of this in the next show and going more in depth into this to get a better understanding of exactly where we sit. And until then, may the God of this earth and of heaven have mercy upon the multitude.
You're now leaving and bless the threshing floor.
Good night.
This is the place where the wheat is separated from the chaff. The gathering of the Lord's harvest will continue when you return next time to the threshing floor.